Healy, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can also stream podcasts of the show at huntleyradio.com. As a show that focuses primarily on the entertainment industry, I've had the great pleasure of interviewing actors and directors about their various productions. Today, I get to step out from behind the figurative curtain and talk about my first appearance on stage since COVID. I will be playing TV star Andrew Rally in the Laugh Riot Paul Rudnick comedy, I Hate Hamlet, being presented by Elgin Theater Company, September 30th through October 9th at the Elgin Arts Showcase. I am joined today by the director of I Hate Hamlet, Regina Belt Daniels. She is one of the most respected directors in the area, so let's take a peek into the world of I Hate Hamlet. Welcome to the show, Gina.
Thank you, Ricky Lee.
So, for those listeners who know nothing about I Hate Hamlet, can you give us a setup of what the show is about?
Would you be amazed if I said no? Anyway, sure. It's a comedy, a drama. It's about Andrew Rally, who's a very famous LA TV star. He has been invited to perform in Central Park Shakespeare in the role of Hamlet. And he has unknowingly rented the apartment of the great John Barrymore. Now, what happens is that John Barrymore appears to instruct Andrew in how to play Hamlet. But of course, we have a cast of characters that range from agents to producers to girlfriends. And it's just the evolution of Andrew's talent and the acceptance of the role of Hamlet.
And now this is a Paul Rudnick play. Paul Rudnick is one of the great modern comedic writers.
Right.
And I understand he got the idea for this because a similar thing happened. He moved into an apartment.
Yep. In 1987, he answered a New York Times ad for an apartment. He was apartment hunting. And it was on West 4th Street, I think, in Greenwich Village. And he found out that John Barrymore had lived there in the 1920s.
Now, John Barrymore, for those who aren't familiar, is regarded as possibly the greatest Hamlet of all time. And so this is a comedy about a ghost coming back to teach somebody who might not have that same level of talent to try this on the boards. Now, Gina, tell us a little bit about the evolution of the play. How did the play first start on Broadway?
Well, it premiered in 1991, and it premiered to mixed critics. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, because a lot of PR happened, he cast Nicole Williamson, who was a great British actor at one time, in the role of John Barrymore. And he cast Evan Handler, who was a great Broadway actor, in Andrew Rally's role. And unfortunately, Nicole Williamson liked to have all the publicity and all the credit. And he, in one way or another, alienated the cast, including injuring Evan, who had to leave the show. He supposedly accidentally got him with a sword. He also was not happy when Adam Arkin, who played the agent Gary, won a Tony, and he didn't like that very much. Interestingly enough, Paul Rudnick wrote an article called I Hit Hamlet for The New Yorker, and he said he had to cast Nicole Williamson because if you've written a star, you have to cast a star. But during all of this, he was concerned, as were his producers, of whether or not they should fire Nicole. And interestingly enough, and I know we've joked about this at rehearsal, Nicole Williamson even said he felt that he could play both parts. He could play Andrew as well as John Barrymore, even though at the time he was in his late 50s. At the same time. But of course, that never happened. But because of all the publicity that Nicole garnered because of all of his actions, they kept him in, and it sold tickets.
Wow. So for this production, maybe we're not going that route?
No, hopefully not. David's not going to stab you. I don't have an understudy. I don't want an understudy. So the interesting thing about the Broadway show, too, is it also starts Celeste Holm in the role of Lillian, which, you know, she's a great actress, too. So
now let's talk about the different characters in the show. We've mentioned Andrew Rowley, who's this TV star. We've talked about John Barrymore, the famous classic actor. Who are the other characters in this comedy?
We have Lillian, and she is Andrew's agent, and she's being played by Allison Hague. And interestingly enough, when Paul Rudnick wrote his I Hate Hamlet, he dedicated it to Helen Merle, who was his agent. And she also is German, as is our Lillian. And Allison does a great German accent, by the way. Then we have Felicia, played by Karen Mayberry-Gruel. And she is just really wonderful. She plays a New York agent, real estate agent. And she does such a marvelous job, especially during the seance. Then we have actually her husband in real life, Travis Gruel, playing
Gary,
yes, the great, great agent, who doesn't understand anything outside of television. And he doesn't understand why Andrew doesn't want to come back to L.A. and be in a TV show. He doesn't understand this whole concept of Shakespeare in the Park. And he has some great lines about it being Shakespeare for squirrels. And then, let's see, who else do we have? Oh, of course, we have Deidre, who is being played by Trace Gamache. And she is your girlfriend. She wants to play Ophelia to your Hamlet. Unfortunately, she only gets a lady in waiting. She is flighty. She's an innocent. You have that great line about her being a
29-year-old virgin.
That's right. Anyway, and of course, Barrymore, as the ghost, sees her as this beautiful, innocent femme fatale, perhaps, and he does a whole bunch of things to her that she can't see him, but she can feel him. So we have a great cast of six very, very talented actors and actresses, and they're creative, they're inventive, and the best thing is they do what I tell them to do. Except for you, Ricky Lee. No.
I never do anything, right?
Yeah.
So at the auditions, we talked after the auditions for this show, and you said that it was a really tough decision because you could have cast the show three times over.
Right. I had 28 people audition. They came from all parts of McHenry County, Elgin, and so forth. Yeah, it was very tough. Very tough.
Let's talk about the different actors that we have in the show. The role of Barrymore is, well, it's very challenging because on the one hand, it has to be accurate to the image that John Barrymore actually had. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a bit of a caricature to make it a comedy. Mm-hmm. So what do you look for when you're casting somebody to play Barrymore?
Well, what I loved about David when he came to auditions, he was his own character. He wasn't trying to impersonate Barrymore. He wasn't doing the drinking, the womanizing, and so forth. The thing that really got me is his voice, his physicality, just how he delivered his lines. I really truly believe that this was an actor who had great experience. I've seen him in other shows. I saw him in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with you, as a matter of fact. I also saw him in PM&L's 39 Steps, and he really impressed me with his British accent at that time. And I'm married to somebody from Great Britain, and, of course, he has comments about accents and who does them well. And he was very impressed with David. And I had to have somebody, of course, obviously, that could do a British accent, even though John Barrymore truly was an American actor. And Lillian has the great lines about Barrymore being the three-ring circus, a womanizer, a true oddity, but never a bore, never a beast. And David conveys all that, and you two have such great chemistry. And that was another thing that I was looking for because, I mean, truth be told, you knew that I was going to cast you as Andrew. I didn't want anybody else, but I needed to have somebody that was going to have an immediate chemistry with you and believability. There has to be that credibility, and you two just, you know, knock my socks off every time we're at rehearsal and how well you adapt to each other and, you know, share ideas and so forth. So,
what I love about David is he is a great comedic actor. Mm-hmm. He is also a great dramatic actor. And sometimes people only have abilities in one area, mm-hmm. not both. And this is a role that really requires that he has to be believable reciting Shakespeare lines, mm-hmm. believable as the greatest Hamlet of all time.
This is true.
But he also has to crack the audience up. So that's what really stands out for me with David.
You know, it's always interesting, too, that in all of my years of directing shows, it's very, very easy to get somebody to cry, to be a dramatic actor. It's awfully hard to get someone to laugh. Mm. So comedic actors, to me, truly are gifted. And when you can do both, and you do that as well, Ricky Lee. Actually, everybody in the cast does as well. You know, that's truly a gift.
Now, I worked with David before, as you mentioned, on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Had you worked with David before this?
No. He's brand new to me.
And so far, it is a delightful pairing.
Yes.
So, okay, let's talk next about Deidre, Andrew's girlfriend. She is a 29-year-old virgin who worries about being seen as silly in life. We have the wonderful Trace Gamache playing Deidre. What stood out to you at auditions about Trace?
Well, she has to be an innocent. She can't be a ninny. She has to be flighty. She has to really convey the fact that she loves Andrew, but she also loves acting. And that's Trace. You know, if you think of Trace, if you've seen Trace, and I've worked with Trace before, she was in My Moon Over Buffalo at the Black Box at MCC. And she's a wild romantic, which also Deidre has to be. And, you know, she's got the physical appearance, too. So you really believe that she is, you know, this actress totally in love with Andrew. And you two, when I had you audition together, had another great chemistry.
I have to agree with that. I mean, I read with several very, very talented actresses at auditions, and I know it was a difficult decision for you, but when I read with Trace, it was like magic. I mean, it just flowed. And we've been able to build off that. There's one point we do a little sing-songy thing with one of the lines that isn't in the script. It just happened naturally.
What if there's an omen?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's kind of funny because what would have happened if I'd cast her and you two didn't get along? I've been in that situation when I myself have been in the show. And the man that was playing, you know, my love interest and I didn't get along. And he would do very strange things, you know, to try and get me. Or to smell bad. We'll mention that too. Yes, I know. But he didn't get in any more shows than I did.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always stream the show in real time or listen to podcasts of past episodes at huntleyradio.com. Today, director Regina Belt Daniels and I are having a little chit-chat about our upcoming production of the Paul Rudnick comedy I Hate Hamlet, being presented by Elgin Theater Company September 30th through October 9th. For ticket information, go to elgin-theater.org or call the box office at 847-741-0532. So we've talked about Deidre and we've talked about Barrymore. Now we have three other wonderful characters played by fabulous performers. Let's talk about each of them. Let's focus first on Lillian, the senior citizen agent of TV star Andrew Raleigh. So tell us about Lillian.
Yes, the agent. Well, she is very stoic. She's tough. She's very wry. She's no nonsense. And she has a German accent. I just love when you see a different side of her when she does the dancing scene with Barrymore and we find out about their past.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, Allison just nailed her.
What does Allison do that makes it not just a performance, but a great performance? What does she bring to the character? Because I'm in awe of everyone in this cast every time I see them.
Yes, didn't I cast well?
So Allison, what makes her so good in this role?
That she's believable. To me, when you know, I review shows, you do too, and it's the whole credibility factor. I really believe that she's Lillian. When she comes through that door and she, you know, talks to you, Snooki, I really believe that she is Lillian.
And what's really interesting is she is so far from Lillian in real life.
Oh, I mean, yes.
She's playing a character that is far older than she is. She is playing a character with a German accent. She's, you know, I don't know where she's from, but I would guess somewhere in the Midwest.
Actually, she's from Bloomington Normal, Illinois.
Okay.
Yes.
And yet she's totally captivating and, as you said, believable in this role.
And she was a kindergarten teacher, too.
Oh, wow.
So maybe that accounts for some of the toughness.
Yeah. And then we have Gary, Andrew's friend from L.A. They've worked on his TV series together, and he comes to New York. And what happens when he comes to New York? What is Gary having an effect on when he walks through the door? What happens?
Well, we can't think of Gary as the villain, but if there's a villain in this piece, it's Gary. However, the way Travis plays him, he's done with humor. But, you know, he just comes through the doorway and he's like, he explodes. And, you know, he dances, he moves, he does all these things because he's trying to convince you to come back to L.A. that you've made a stupid mistake by doing Shakespeare in the Park. You know, and he has comments about Lillian being a documentary. You know, I mean, he's just... I don't know how to describe Gary, but he's like every producer, agent nightmare that you could come up with. And I think Paul Rudnick just captured that so brilliantly with him. And I'm sure he's had experience in that area, so he could draw from that. So
yes, every negative stereotype about the Hollywood industry is captured in Gary.
And Travis plays him shamelessly.
Oh, he is so wonderful. I've seen the production before and wasn't too entertained by the role of Gary. Seeing Travis do it, I now understand why Alan Arkin got nominated for a Tony. Got nominated for a Tony for the role because it's there. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the right actor in it, and it can take over the show.
You know, it's interesting because Paul Rudnick originally started writing this as a novel.
Oh.
But then he decided that it would be better as a play. And I think he's right. You know, and his dialogue is just so great. The lines, you know, every time at rehearsal, we all come up with, you know, oh, now we get that line, or, oh, I'd never thought of that, or what a great line. So
okay. Let's talk about our last member of the cast, which is Felicia, who is Karen Mayberry Gruel. Tell us a little bit about the character Felicia, because she's a little bit far out there.
And Karen plays her very strongly again, but a very determined real estate agent. I love her New York accent. I'm originally from New York State, but I spent a lot of time in New York City. And she nailed that, and I know she was very, very worried about that. She's got a heart of gold. She likes you, Andrew. She's, you know, a fan of yours. Well, here's a little, you know, drop of interest. She does fall in love with the character of Gary. Of course, he has a limo. And he does.
And a bar.
And a bar, yeah, and provides champagne for everybody in the cast, too. But and she also is a psychic. So in the first act, we have a wonderful seance, which... She is responsible for not only talking to her mother, who has passed over, but she brings Barrymore into the apartment, and he lives, and you get to work with him, Andrew. So, yeah.
So, when you decided to do this play, what kind of research did you do on the show to prepare?
Well, first of all, I looked up John Barrymore. Of course, we know that he came from the very famous acting family with Ethel and Lionel. He was known as the great profile because he was the one that was supposedly so beautiful, and he had the magnetism and the range. And again, I love the line in the play where he's talking to you, and he said, "There was a family reputation knotted about my neck." Mm-hmm. And that is so very, very true. And I think, you know, he was famous in 1920 for doing Richard III, and then 1921 was his Hamlet at Haymarket in England. And because of his drinking and his womanizing, then he moved to Hollywood. And, of course, I think the money was so attractive, he stayed. And as we've discussed, he did mediocre films. 20th Century probably was the most famous, and then Grand Hotel. So I researched him. I also read what I could about Paul Rudnick, and I read the I Hit Hamlet in the New Yorker. I've read the play a couple of times. I had seen it before, too. Woodstock Opera House did it a long, long time ago. And then, as I told the cast, when I was up in Stratford, Christopher Plummer did the play Barrymore, and I was fortunate enough to see that as well. So I even read some reviews that were published in 1991 after it premiered in New York, too, to see, you know, what the feelings were and where I was going to go.
Now, we have one other member of the cast that we didn't mention. With Elgin Theater Company, on Sunday performances,
yes,
they offer a sign interpretation for
right.
the hard of hearing and the deaf. And so this is actually my first time working with a sign interpreter. Can you tell us a little bit about...
Well, that's Andrew Ross. I've seen him at Elgin Theater before. He's going to be at our Sunday performances. He's very gifted. Not only does he sign the American Sign Language, but he also facially acts things. And then, like when you're involved in the duel, he's right behind you guys, also doing the body movements. Sometimes for me, it's very distracting because I just love watching Andrew. But, you know, he's something that I'm so glad ETC has incorporated into their productions.
Now, is this the first time that you've worked with Elgin Theater Company?
Yes.
How did that come about?
Oh, this was interesting. Richard Greger, who's the producer, had seen me, I think I was at the Tin Woman or maybe one of the other shows before, and I had been reviewing ETC shows. No, I guess it was the Ken Ludwig, the Hound of the Baskervilles. Anyway, and he stopped me as I was exiting, and he said, "Would you be interested in directing for us sometime?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, give me a call," that type of thing. And he did call me, and then he asked if I had any shows that I was interested in, and I was very interested in I Hate Hamlet. This was something you and I had talked about in the past. And I mentioned that to him, and he said, "Okay, well, you know, we'll look into it, and we'll go with I Hate Hamlet." And then the next thing I knew, a friend of mine showed me a program, and it said, "Coming soon, I Hate Hamlet, directed by Regina Bell Daniels." So I thought, well, okay, I guess it's official.
Very good. Now, I contacted you at one point, not sure I could play the role of
yes,
Andrew.
You did.
I was very concerned, and you convinced me that it was the right choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you so much for convincing me, because I am having a blast
Good.
Doing this show. It is so well written, and you are such a remarkable director. It's
oh,
just
thank you.
It's a joy to go to rehearsal every night and see these wonderful people in the cast and work with them. I've worked with David before, but he's the only one. So it's being able to play opposite some of the best talent in the area mm-hmm. is just a joy every night. And I also wanted to mention some of the people working behind the scenes. Now, we have a wonderful stage manager. Why don't you tell us about our stage manager and what he brings to the table? What makes a good stage manager?
Matt Hordicke is our stage manager. I've worked with him before, as did you, Ricky Lee, mm-hmm. mornings at 7 for our CLPC Theater. He's very dependable. He's very reliable. He also is creative. He's also going to be designing our lights and sound. He did lights for me before, and I trust him explicitly. I know that he will do an excellent job. Plus, he comes to rehearsal.
Yeah.
And he gives you guys lines when you need them.
In fact, the other night at rehearsal, Lillian, the German agent, was out of the room. And Matt not only read her lines so we could keep going with the rehearsal, he read them in a German accent.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that is true. But then I've had to read, you know, Deidre and Felicia, too. So I can do accents, too.
Oh, yes. You do a wonderful job. And one thing that you do that makes you such a joy to work with, and I'd never experienced this before, you take a lot of photos of the actors so that they can see how they look, what they're doing.
Right.
When did that develop for you?
I've always done that for any show I've directed, and I've done that primarily, like you said, for the actors. So you can see your facial and, you know, what your body is doing. And I think that really assists, you know, besides my notes saying this, that's why you have to say the line, or, you know, you didn't move your hand the right way, because I hate handing things to people on silver platters. But you all can look at the pictures and say, oh, yeah, there's my face, and that's what I'm doing. And when I compliment you and say, you know, I really liked what you did here, don't forget that this is what you did. Now you've got a picture to help you.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can also find us at huntleyradio.com. Opening September 30th and running through October 9th, I will be appearing in the hilarious Paul Rudnick comedy I Hate Hamlet for Elgin Theater Company. I've been joined today by the director of that production, Regina Belt Daniels. For ticket information, visit elgin-theater.org or call the box office at 847-741-0532. On behalf of Gina and myself, we hope to see you in the audience.